The following podcast may contain adult language and an abundance of chet. So get ready, nerds, because we're talking season two, episode two, forever. Nice.
Good enough.
Good enough for us. Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Salty Nerd Podcast, where we're going to be talking about season two, heavy spoilers going forward, so be prepared. I am joined, as always, by my fantastic panel of nerds, starting with Matt Vader 74. Welcome, sir.
What is going on? We are here to talk some sea, baby.
Are we getting into this show?
I fucking love this show. This show is so much better this year. It is unreal.
It's so much better.
Yeah.
The improvements have definitely improved my watching experience.
Yes.
Jude is here as well.
Hi.
Super excited.
Are you ready to pay me?
Yes. How much do I owe you?
$50.
$50? Ugh.
Don't come for me. You did this to yourself.
I know I did. It's my fault.
I'm Baba Voss. You're Jerla Morel. And you did this.
Damn. Also joined by Matthew Kanish. Welcome, sir.
I hate this show.
Stop it. Stop it right now.
It's getting too entertaining.
I don't even want to watch it with you good. Anymore.
It's not stupid enough.
It's getting too good.
It's getting too good. That's your main problem?
Yes.
Wow.
The show is supposed to be terrible.
You are a nonsense person. Just malarkey.
Shenanigans.
After the show we just recorded and he says stuff like that, I can't take you seriously anymore. I really can't. It's hard.
All right.
Vader, can you elucidate more on how you feel?
No.
I mean the show is still terrible, but it's getting to the point where it's like it knows how to fix itself and I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree.
I love it. I'm so stoked. I hope it just gets better and better with every season. All right, guys. Heavy spoiler moving forward, so be prepared. We're going to take a quick break, listen to some sponsors, and we will be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Hey, if you want to support the podcast and you like what we do here, go to saltynerdclub.com and become a club member. There you can get exclusive access to 4 different episodes per month where we just dive into movies that we watch and we say things that we're not allowed to say on YouTube and we could probably get kicked off of Spotify and Apple and all that stuff. Go become a club member, get exclusive access to all that really cool stuff. Plus, you'll get access to our members-only Discord server and a myriad of other benefits that you guys will get for us. Plus, you'll be helping us out. So go to saltynerdclub.com and join the memberships. All right. Season 2, episode 2, forever. Jude, you look stoked. Go for it.
Well, I'm the one in charge.
No, oh. I don't know what to do with my hands.
That's right.
Kanish. I'm excited to talk about it, but I did not create a synopsis.
Oh, okay. Kanish runs Kanish's the show. Baby. That's right. Go for it, Kanish.
All right. So season 2, episode 2, entitled Forever, starts with Driller Morel with a blind healer who performs a procedure to bring back his sight, but it didn't work. Driller Morel is permanently blind and he's not happy about it.
Driller Morel is so boring. Skip.
I never wanted to see this guy ever again.
I thought he was
dead.
Did
not care if he was alive or dead.
Neither did I. Don't care. Mm-hmm. Moving on. Wow. I saw him and I was like, oh, he's still alive.
Man. Yeah.
Damn it.
We're going to bring these guys back.
His kids are like teaching him how to be blind.
Yeah.
Boring.
Hit your stick on the floor and don't walk into anything. And then he immediately walks into a wall and he's like, damn it, that's your fault.
He's not even sticking right.
I did get a little bit of amusement out of the part where he's like, go read the book again and learn how to do it.
Yeah.
you're not going to fix somebody's blindness from getting his thumbs rammed through his skull.
You need new corneas, dude.
From reading a book.
Yeah.
500 years into the future. It's just
200 years. Can we fight about that?
I don't know.
I don't feel like that's long enough.
I want to fight the show about it.
Yeah.
Because we established that this would make sense if it were at least 500 years in the future. A lot of it still does not make sense. However, I feel like they retconned it and they were like, well, these tires are not going to last 500 years. As of right now, it's 200 years. Yeah. And that's bullshit.
Tires. What about pillows and bed sheets?
Right? We'll get there in a minute. Yeah. I've got a lot to say about that freaking five-star restaurant.
But yeah, this, you know, being a eye doctor just by reading some old book.
You know where I think this is going? I think Gerla Morel is setting up to start stealing his children's eyeballs. Because we've already established that he doesn't give a shit about these kids. They're just there to be his army.
He's an eye transplant?
But he's the most important guy in this, in his world. So he's going to like make one of his kids give them his eyes.
What if they pull a full Game of Thrones and they turn Gerald Morrell into like this crazy sympathetic character and we end up rooting for him?
I don't care about him.
Yeah, I am with you guys.
You can
try. Gerald Morrell's kind of like, eh.
He's like, he's over. He's so last season.
Yeah, he really was. So
he's like, oh, sorry, I missed one bear. And it almost killed the twins. Fuck him.
And he chose those terrible names, Hanawa and Kofun.
That's the worst crime he's ever committed.
They're starting to grow.
Kofun is out. I don't like Kofun, but Hanawa, when people are saying it in this episode,
It's a pretty name.
It is a good name. Like, Hanawa. Hanawa. It's just a nice name. I was digging it. I was like, all right. It's like honey, a little bit of honey in there.
No, so we
a
don't,
little
we
bit of weed.
We don't care about
Jeremiah. I need it to be spelled different then.
Okay.
I like you renaming Kofun to Tofu.
Tofu.
Tofun.
Because he is 100% soy.
Yeah.
He's kind of coming into his, like I said, I think they're going to try and make him the intellectual. He's kind of coming into that in this episode where he's like, you should think about what you believe with the Witchfinder guy.
Is he though?
Yeah, we're gonna get
we'll
to
get
that.
It there.
So Rin gets tired of watching Hanawa sleep and takes her out of the cell on a tour of Trevante's and up to her swanky high-rise apartment that's remarkably well-preserved for over 200 years.
She's been taking care of it, she said.
Hanawa starts reading Alice in Wonderland to her in the most seductive way possible, and Rin is impressed because she never learned to read.
This scene. Oh my God. The minute this happened, I was like, oh God, Jude called it.
Said it. Yep.
I was like, no, she was right.
You need to read the room.
I never
those
doubted
bitches
this was
were horny
happen.
For each other.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hardcore. Hey,
love is blind.
So is everyone else in the show.
Dad jokes. No, but the freaking suite that she was in, I was like, what is it? Like, there's buildings falling down around you, but there's this perfectly preserved, like, 5-star. Freaking king size bedroom.
First off, it's going to take her at least an hour to climb up to this suite.
Mm-hmm. And also, how is that studio apartment so nice?
Like, considering hundreds of years have passed, the pillows, the sheets, like everything in this apartment looked pretty darn good.
Yeah.
She's kept them hermetically sealed.
Something. It just, that's the only thing I could think of when I was watching that scene.
I think it would have been hilarious because there's a scene when she walks in and she like shows her the bed and Hanawa just falls over onto it and is like, oh, if this were my bed, I'd never get out. But I thought it would have been hilarious if she had fallen onto the bed and just a big of dust come up, it would have been more realistic.
Well, we also get like a little mini tour of Trevante's, like the area that we haven't seen yet.
I appreciated that.
Yeah. So
The difference between Trevante's and Pensa.
Trevante's.
And Pensa.
Pittsburgh and Pensa.
Yeah. Like Pensa is just full of like pilgrims. And these are all just like people like who have butcher knives on them all the time.
And it's a very industrial city.
It's very industrial. Like these people are going to kill you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. The discrepancy between like when the first season, when we get introduced to the Alkinni and we're like, Alkinni?
Alkinni.
Yeah. And they're like, these nomads who live in like these little wooden structures.
They're straight up hill people.
Yeah.
They're primitives.
Yeah.
Well, they're from the Allegheny forest. Yeah. Like that's where.
Which is full of primitive people. I'm just kidding.
And then we see this and there's like an industrialized workforce and like furnaces and coal burning facilities.
They're obviously more advanced.
Yeah. It seemed really weird to me. Like that one, like it almost had the perception of like, this is how life is when we were in the season one. We're like, this is it. This is how people live nowadays.
I mean,
and then we're getting to this. Now we have like penthouses and freaking castles and
Honestly, I'm kind of buying it.
Yeah.
I do kind of. I don't buy the clean sheets and stuff and the beds that aren't rotten.
Yeah. Who's cleaning this stuff?
But I do buy the world that they've set up, how people who have gone into the cities, the old cities, they're going to have a different society than a group of people that live out in the middle of the sticks.
Like if you're living in a tent, your life is much different than if you're living in a reconstructed
high rise. But there's a scene here where Hanawa looks out the window and she's like, I've never been up so high. And I'm just like, how are you not out of breath and just like wanting to collapse after climbing that? All those
she's
stories.
She's very athletic.
I was just
and also
say,
she can see.
It's like if you've ever gone into like even one of the hotels down here in Vegas,
yeah,
on the strip and gone up the stairs, mm-hmm. up like 10 flights even.
If I take those too fast, I'm out of breath.
You are exhausted. It's you're done for the day.
I used to work at security and I'd have to do rounds inside to make sure there was nobody in the stairwells and stuff. Yeah, it's tough.
And you probably took the elevator up and walked down, right?
No, I used to take the stairs up.
Yeah,
well, for exercise. So I'm not. Yeah, I am one of those people. Yeah, all right,
every time we'd be coming back from lunch, there'd be somebody who'd be like, do you want to take the stairs? No.
So those elevators are full.
That was me.
I want to take the elevator like a fucking norm.
All right, Kish, what happens next?
All right. So in the dungeons, Baba Voss is being tortured by having his back whipped. His brother Ito comes to gloat, and we learn that Baba has been tortured for going on 4 days now. Ito says he'll keep Baba here and whip him for every night that Baba whipped Ito as a children, and that when Ito finally does decide to kill him, Baba will weep with gratitude.
What a scene.
Yeah. This is good stuff.
Jason, yeah. the return of Brainhead.
It's making me wonder if Baba is responsible for that monstrosity on Dave Bautista's head.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Probably. But
what got me, Jason Momoa's acting in this scene when he was being whipped and like when Ito came over and like was like digging his fingers into the wounds, he was like, I don't know what you call it. He was just wiggling around like, oh, my
reacting.
God, that's so painful. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine.
Later on, they throw him into his cell and they're just like poking him sticks in his back.
Yeah.
And he's like reacting to that. God. Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. I mean, it's like Norseman level, you know, whippings.
Oh, you know,
makes sense. You know, yeah.
Stop.
God, we love that movie or show. I felt bad for Baba, but at the same time, I'm really intrigued because like, Ito is doing this out of like revenge because apparently Baba was like a savage.
Like what happened?
Yeah.
And like, I got a little, and I don't know if this is an accurate reading or if this is just one of those Jude thinks everything is sexy things. Not that this is sexy, but like I got a little bit of like, because Baba was like, I should have protected you. And I got the sense that it was more than just beatings. Like I thought maybe their dad was like, because there's a reason why Baba killed his father.
Yeah.
And I think it's more than just beatings. Mm.
Well, apparently, so we find out in this scene that Baba used to whip Ito like he's being whipped.
But the dad forced Ito into submission is what I'm gleaning from that conversation. And Baba said, I should have protected you instead of basically allowing the dad to do whatever it was that the dad wanted to do. But Baba was the one that beat him. And then what did the dad do? And I think the dad was raping him.
Really?
That's what I thought.
I don't know if he'd want revenge for his father's death if that was the case. So
it's a fucked up society.
Who knows? Yeah. All right. So next up, we have Toad and his witch finders taking Kofun back to Pinsa. Toad tells Kofun that his men don't like witches, but Kofun uses his big brain to turn that around and make Toad question who is more dangerous, witches or the witch finders?
I can't take anyone named Toad seriously.
Well, they haven't named him in the show yet. This is what he's called in IMDb. So
Toad. Okay. Mm. Why haven't they named him yet? That's weird. Where's the dude with the white beard?
I don't know.
I have a theory about that.
Can we hear about it right now? We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hit me.
Yeah, I'll share the theory when I feel it's appropriate.
Oh my God.
Because we got to get to
We're not there yet.
It's such a tease.
We're not there yet.
Such
man.
A tease. All right. I don't know. Tofu, I really don't care about him. I just like.
He's just a lackey.
He's just a subplot at this point. Like, if it gets more interesting, I'll pay more attention. But whenever he's on screen, I kind of like go get a snack.
I think that they are developing Kofu more. And it's a slow burn.
Yeah,
Is he interesting yet? No, not at all.
I mean,
but I think they're going to do something with his character that will become like interesting.
I feel like
he's going to be the Peter Baelish. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, I was same vein.
Okay.
I feel like we're setting up multiple seasons of character arcs.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not, and we might not get more than another 45 minutes of Tofun.
He's going to be
this entire season. Who
knows? He's going to end up being the queen's consort because I don't want to spoil anything yet, but I have the impression that Boots is out and that queen still needs a sighted baby.
We're going to get
his niece.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Go for it.
All right. So back at Pensa, Queen Kane is calling for war against the Trevantians, and those at court don't like her recklessness. Magra calls out Queen Kane's faulty strategy, and Queen Kane dismisses everyone from the room so she can school Magra on how to be a ruthless ruler while subtly threatening her sister. And unbeknownst to them, Lord Harlan has been eavesdropping on them and knows that there's something up.
I was very distracted by Queen Kane's dress in this scene.
You are? Tell me more.
Because it was like a weird half Aubrey tie-dye thing going on. It was red, but then it like slowly faded into pink and then white.
It looked like it tasted like cotton candy.
It's very beautiful, but I don't know why.
did you guys notice the stenographer in this scene?
Yes. Yeah.
She's sitting there with her knots. She's tying knots.
She's taking the knots.
She's like taking notes of the meeting, but she's
got, in the
like,
background,
she's got like this big loom with like yellow yarn that she's just like tying knots in, like
a mad person.
Yeah. Don't miss a syllable.
Yeah.
How do they store these knots?
They just hang them.
Yeah. Did you not see all the knots behind the queen? Just
insane.
It's like
the knots are insane.
This was this day. Yeah. And I did notice that though. There's somebody in the background behind everybody's talking, and this lady's just going out there like frantically tying knots in a rope. Notating everything that everybody's saying.
Like, that is not the job you want in this kingdom. Oh my
gosh.
And why was the yarn yellow? like they're dyeing yarn. It was
kind of like a burnt orange.
Either way.
Like bright yellow.
I made a comment on social media earlier today about how this is a television show about a blind society.
In a virtual age.
But they're making it for a
sighted
society to view. So it's really weird how they're making this show something that we're interested
visually
in.
Visually stunning while trying to encapsulate blind society.
We absolutely trash it every time they like try to make it interesting because it's like, why do these people have matching outfits? What's up with the color scheme of this? Why is this person wearing, you know, ritual feathers hanging off their head that nobody can give a shit about? It's just... There's so much stuff that's goofy and weird. But the entire series is encapsulated by this kind of dark and shadowy filter. And even the outside and indoor scenes, they're all dark.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's got like the blue filter on it.
Yeah. It's just, okay. So it's about blind people. So we're going to make everything blue and subdued.
Back to Queen Kane. The actress does such a good job of making me despise this person.
100%.
Like when she starts talking and she's doing that again, she's doing that thing with her voice and she's like, everybody out. She just screams.
She goes from zero to 60 like
a snap of a finger, like a jingle of a bell. It's nuts.
Kudos to her. She's a good actress.
Yeah, very much.
Because I loathe her.
I just hate it. Yeah. Do you guys like how when she orders everybody out, and then the one dude just kind of like walks around the corner and then just stays put and nobody knows.
Especially since like both the queen and Magra are Ayers. Ayers.
We can't say it.
Yeah. They're really good at hearing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like in the first season, they established that the queen can tell like who's who by like how they shift on their feet. Mm-hmm. Like she has that acute of hearing. And like, meanwhile, Lord Harlan's just like, couple feet away, just chilling out in the corner.
Well, maybe he's a shadow.
I was just gonna say Vader.
he didn't have any of the gray mud though.
Okay, but I was just gonna say, like, he, I think, unless the show is just doing one of those things where they forget to address something, that could be. But if they're trying to smarten up the episodes, then Lord Harlan has definitely had shadow training.
We'll see. Maybe he can walk in silence.
Maybe. We'll see
what happens in the next scene.
So back in Trevantis, Rin and Hanawa are back at Rin's apartment and going through fancy jewelry, one of which is engraved with the words forever.
I thought it was like the Hope Diamond or something.
Which Rin couldn't read before, but Hanawa, and you know, informs her. And the two take that as a cue to start making out and getting all sexy with each other.
And then Hanniwa falls asleep on her. Rude.
But this was Jude's prediction come to fruition one episode after she called it.
Yep.
I presaged it.
they didn't even like build up.
No.
They just went right down.
She was just like, build it up if you paid attention and listened to me.
It was like, oh, this says forever. Let's just start making out. It was, I mean, since Jude ruined it for me, I can't.
Oh, do you want to talk about things that were ruined for other people on the podcast?
Oh, you want to talk about that?
Not yet.
All right, Kadish. We talked about this scene already. It's goofy that there's
Captain
like
spoils.
Perfect sheet.
You make me so mad.
Get there in a minute, Jude. Go ahead, Kadish.
All right. So Ido Voss goes before the Trevanti High Council and gives them a report on the goings-on with Queen Kane and Pensa. The council doesn't want to fight the Pensans because they are currently engaged in a war with someone called the Ganites, a tribe to their western border. Ido warns that Sight is bound to return and they must harness this power, but the council tells them to fuck off because they're more worried about the Ganites than they are about sighted people.
And Kadish, you have a theory about who the Ganites are.
Ohioans?
Yeah, yeah. Basically, they're from Cleveland, essentially. So like Trevanti's is Pittsburgh, Ganite is Cleveland, and Pensa is Philadelphia.
Okay.
Or something like that. That's my theory. I don't have anything to back that up. But did you guys notice who the head general, the head military guy was in the scene?
No.
Vader.
Do you recognize him?
I guess I missed it.
So it's Joe Flanagan, the guy who played Shepard on Stargate Atlantis.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Who was Jason Momoa's co-star.
I didn't even think about that. I didn't notice that.
I got to go rewatch it now.
We've talked about the crossovers between Stargate and NC because of Jason Momoa.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Nick's mentioned a few times, like, yeah, there's a bunch of production guys and like set designers and stuff that are working from Atlantis over to this. That's super cool. I didn't even recognize him. That's awesome.
Yeah. It took me the second viewing to spot him, but because like he's all in shadow and he's like the blind guy who's like the head of the council. But like the second time around, I was like, holy shit, that's Joe Flanagan.
Nice.
Good old Joe.
I forgot. Yeah. He did an interview.
I got to start paying attention for Atlantis.
Stargate people. Yeah.
I've never wanted to start.
That's awesome. The one thing I really liked about this scene, and we've talked about this in like a blind society, how it all works, but like when they were like, all right, I'm done talking, and they hit their cane on the floor, and that's how like everybody,
they are way more astute this year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With everybody having sticks and sounds and vibrations and touches and smells and feels.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm buying it way more this year.
Their tap tap is like the Alchemist chat.
Yeah. It's like last year, everybody had fucking superpowers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're reeling it back a little bit.
This year they've reeled it back. You know, and it's a little more realistic. It's
50 horses and 200 men, 5 miles from here.
They're all angry.
I can't really say it's realistic because I just don't know.
But
it seems more
grounded,
sensible.
Yeah. But we got a little interesting look into the leadership of the Trevantians, where basically the military is the one in charge. The high general is the guy who has the shots.
They seem to have an actual government. Then
you have the representative of the people, and then you have the representative of the banks. Mm-hmm. And that's like the triumvirate that runs this thing. And Ido is like, I guess, like second in command to the high military general guy.
Yeah, he's like the voice.
Commander general.
But it also shows that like all the stuff that's going on with sighted people in Trevanti and Trevantis is that it's all at the behest of Ido, who's doing it on the down low, because the High Council doesn't seem to know the extent with which he has planned for like the sighted people.
I have so many questions for you guys, but I can't ask them until we're through the episode.
Okay.
I can't wait for C-Con. the LARPing is going to be out of control. We're all going to have our sticks.
I'm going to go as a shadow, but you know I'm there. I'm going to walk in silence.
I've already gotten my beard going. I'm going to go as Baba Voss, or as a, you know, I think, yeah. So
go ahead.
All right. So Baba Voss gets a break from torture and is tossed into a prison cell that happens to be next to another prisoner, Tamakta June. And Tamakta June tells Baba Voss that Magra is alive and sister to the queen, shocking Baba, who still swears to one day kill Tamakta June for hunting his family for over 20 years. And I guess it turns out that being bad at killing runs in Jurla Morel's family. So
Interesting. Also, Alex told me Tamakta Jun was back just before this scene.
I know. Okay, right? Look.
That's rude.
No.
Rude.
Stop. She texts me.
Yeah.
I get a text message. Mm-hmm. Have you seen C? Like 30 explanation points. Like she's excited. And I'm like.
I did. Question, question, question. 2 exclamation points. Question, question.
And I'm like, you talking about Tamakta Jun?
And no, she's like, no. I said, have you watched C yet? With all of the punctuation.
Yeah.
And he goes, Tamakta Jun! Lots of exclamation points. And I went, oh, God damn it.
I probably would have done the same thing.
I was just at the lesbian kiss. Why and I was excited because he owed me $50.
Why would you text me?
Because I'm a good person. And I didn't spoil anything for you.
In the middle of the episode.
I was excited to talk to you.
But so here's the thing. When Tamakta Jun shows up on screen, Jude and I just spontaneously throw our arms
cheered.
Up.
That's exactly what I heard. Even though I knew it was coming because it's dickhead.
Yeah,
but I still cheered.
But we fucking lost our shit. Yeah. We were like, we knew it. We knew he was coming back.
I didn't spoil it for Kadish, even though you spoiled it for me.
Well, the minute I heard his voice, I was like, is that Tamakta Jun?
Yeah. How did he survive?
I let you have
how did he get there?
So that's my theory.
Oh, what's your theory? Go for it.
Bino guy went back and nursed him back to health.
Oh, okay.
And that guy is with the Cervantes now.
Oh, you think so? He's like Ito's like right-hand side?
He's just silent against a wall somewhere. But even though it's dark, you can still see that beard.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that like, he literally got stabbed in the heart.
Yeah.
And like, he just-
Did he though?
He collapses. He's there for like, God knows how many days until like they head out and then burn the house down around him. Mm-hmm. And it's just like
God wanted him to survive.
Well, Baba Voss got stabbed in the leg when he was fighting Joel Morell, and it's just like
he got shot.
It's just like this is like a month later, and
he's very hardy.
And yeah, they're like running around killing trained soldiers, and it's just like, you know, does the virus that robs you of sight also make you heal faster?
Like how's this work? Well,
also, I don't think that you're giving the God in this world enough credit. The God flame.
So. Jude, you're being sarcastic.
No, I'm not.
You're
How
not?
How dare you?
I hope you are. The God flame gave him health.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
No.
You explain it then.
Fan uprising.
Fan service.
Is fan service is 100% the reason why Tamakta Jun's in this episode.
You know what makes me excited is that there are fans of this show that would rise up.
That's us.
We're the only 4 fans the show has.
I think... That you think that we're more important than we are.
I'm actually learning that this show does have some fans and makes me happy.
Yeah.
I need to get on that Facebook group.
I just joined a Facebook group that has like 2,500 people in it.
That's, there you go.
Yeah, but the minute we saw that final shot of Tamakta Jun in season 1, we were all like, he's not dead.
He's not dead.
Yeah.
He's coming back.
Yeah. Sure.
So but
it's nice to be right.
I saw it last night at like 11:30. And I immediately sent you guys a text. Fucking Tamakta Jun.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for anyone else.
And we're going to get, I can't wait. My favorite line in this episode, but we'll get there. Go ahead, Kadish. What happens after this?
All right. So Queen Kane is praying in her bathtub.
Yes.
But gets interrupted by her handmaid who announces Lord Harlan. Lord Harlan proposes a marriage alliance to the queen, but Queen Kane offers Magra to him instead, right before laying on the bed, spreading her legs and telling him to kneel before his queen.
Oh, at which point,
Harlan shrugs and is like, all
right.
What? He was a bit more on board. He was like, you know what? I do want to service my queen.
I'm going to get down.
Dude, this chick, she's got the best gods. She
is devout as hell.
Yeah, she's in there like praying in a lavender milk bath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then she's just.
Being the queen is stressful. You need that lavender.
It. Just going for it. Talking about nice. Like, please give me. Strength.
And when she's interrupted, she's so pissed
off. Oh, she's like, fuck. I was laughing so hard when she did that.
I gotta finish this prayer.
Damn it. And then the dude walks over and they have this conversation. Now, this is where the Game of Thrones element comes in, where he's like, why not a marriage alliance so that me and you can rule together? And she's like, you can have my sister.
Yeah, because she doesn't want to make him
like,
king.
Yeah. Can't make this dude king. Mm-hmm. That's a bad move. So she's
Lord
like,
Harlan, you think that she is dumb, but she is smart and she's smarter than y'all.
Well, the interesting thing is that we learned that Lord Harlan grew up at the Pyan capital under the tutorship of her father, the king.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was kind of like a ward with them, kind of grown, kind of like Peter Baelish.
Yeah, and she probably already knows what that mouth do. Yeah.
Did you guys notice her scars on the back of her neck? She's got like a little barcode.
Oh, you know what? I was wondering because like everyone else in this show pretty much has like the facial scarring so that you can identify them. And I thought like, it's weird that the royalty doesn't, but like they have that coin embedded in them. So I'm wondering if that's...
Well, it turns out she's got a lot embedded in her.
Yeah, what's with this? Is this like a new... Oh, we'll get there yet, but...
I mean, that was set up in the first season, though.
Was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So...
she killed other people with that.
Yeah.
Okay, before we continue the conversation, let's hear a word from some sponsors.
So Ito arrives at Hanawa's cell and has her brought to the town square where she sees Baba Voss tied up and caged. Ito tells Baba that he's going to have Hanawa raped continuously before Baba is carted off and Hanawa is taken away to get gangbanged by a bunch of blind soldiers.
Because, you know, nothing produces a child more than, you know, just rape upon rape and stressful situation upon stressful situation.
I don't think they really cared about the outcome.
They don't understand science.
It's basic genetics.
Yeah, when he was, that's probably later on, but when he was telling her what was going to happen to his daughter, I would just would have.
Well, that was this. They were in the town square.
Turning her into a broodmare. Yeah. Which, like, originally I thought, well, Ito's got to know that Ren has sight because he's creating this army. And then after this scene, I was like, you know what? He probably doesn't know because she knows he'd turn her into a broodmare too.
Yeah. It was dark, though, this whole scene where he's like in the cage and he's like, no, let her go. And he's like screaming at him. And he's like, no, this is going to be tough.
Yeah, she's just going to make me baby after baby.
It was a tough scene, like pretty freaking dark.
Yeah, and he's like, and when she can't make babies anymore, that's when I'm going to kill her.
Yeah. Gosh, man. Ito's a freaking savage.
And this was the impetus to have Ren do what she does next.
Yeah.
Which is basically... Ren doesn't like the idea of her new girlfriend having a train run on her by disgusting dudes.
Right.
So she goes and breaks Baba Voss and Tamakta June out of prison, and the group goes and kills everyone to rescue Hanawa before she is raped.
My favorite scene in this part was when Baba Voss, like rolled up real sly onto Tamakta June and like body slammed the dude.
Oh yeah.
That looked heavy. He was like, bam, you're going to freaking die as soon as you're not useful. I will kill you. What do you say? I'm going to cut your entrails out and feed them to you or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was
despite Baba Voss's bluster, there's a great line in here where, Tamakta June goes to like hold off the incoming guards while they go search for Hanawa.
Oh, yeah.
And Ren is like, you know, like one man can't take on all those guards. And
Baba Voss
is like, this man can.
Yeah, it is when it's this man.
And so like he's got like a lot of respect for Tamakta June, even though like he hates him.
Yeah.
My favorite line in this whole show was when she set Baba Voss free and she didn't want to get the other guy out because she was going to get killed for setting Baba Voss out.
Yeah.
And he goes, you can only get hung once.
You might as well just let him go.
Yeah. You know, it was.
Yeah. He's like, what are they going to do? Hang you twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite line in this entire show from season one up until now.
Bow before your queen.
So dirty.
I've forgotten more about murder than you will ever know.
Oh, okay.
I haven't forgotten that, Tamakta June, because you're a bad boy.
Well, what was also interesting about this scene is that as Ren is breaking them out, Baba Voss figures out that she has the gift of sight because he's like, you move too fast and you don't use your stick properly.
You stand too tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool, huh?
And I was like,
this show's making,
if it's that easy for Baba Voss to figure out, Ito has to know.
Well, she wasn't trying to hide it really well at this point. Yeah. She was kind of rushing.
She's a little distracted.
Because she knew her girlfriend was about to get raped.
Like, I might want to run away with my fiance.
I'm pretty sure that she can get along not seeing as well.
Oh yeah, she's because definitely
she's trained herself with that mask and you know, so she's good.
Which
in both
makes
worlds.
That mask like or when I saw it, I was like, what the hell is that mask for? They're blind. Now I get it. She was using that mask to block out her sight so that she could train as a sighted person and have her sight. That's what fucking Kofun and Hanawa should have been doing this whole time.
Yes. Or at least as a blind person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically Baba Voss and Tamakta June kick all sorts of ass until Ito shows up and starts kicking Baba's ass. That is until Hanawa shows up with a bow and arrow and shoots the fuck out of Ito, but doesn't kill him for some reason.
Stupid. Also, I want a spin-off show where it's like Tamakta June and Baba Voss as a buddy cop show. And they're out there like tracking witches down.
Lethal witch finder.
Holy shit, that's amazing. We need to collaborate.
Lethal witch finder.
Some Octave June's like, I'm too old for this shit. I've been in the wilderness 25 years.
And Baba Voss is just like a wild card.
Yeah.
He's like, you want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts. Yeah.
This scene was cool. I like seeing the brother versus brother thing. It was a lot of fun. Again, just the fight scenes in this show this season are
great.
Way better.
So
way,
good.
Way better than the first season.
Yeah. They're a lot more believable.
Yeah.
And choreographed.
This last scene between Baba and Ito Voss after he was shot. Mm-hmm. And Baba Voss is standing over him
and he's like talking shit.
And he like goes straight gangster on him.
Yeah.
And that but what was cool was when Ito goes, "That's the brother Ives."
I remember.
He's the back.
Psychopath, crazy motherfucker. Yeah. Yeah. It was like, I like that.
But Ito takes like three arrows. He takes two to the chest and one to the leg.
He's no schlub.
She's a terrible
And then the minute that they run away, he pulls the alarm. And it's just like why you leave him alive? You could have
at least knocked him out.
He's got some heavy armor on too, though. So I don't believe that he's dead yet.
No, he's not dead. No.
But I mean, like, why didn't they kill him? Why didn't Hannah put one right in his neck?
Well,
or his eyeball. Straight shot to the brain.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, they just had to hit his head for the brain.
It's not good for the story.
Brain head.
You guys and the freaking wrinkles.
He's got a skull here blocking that arrow. She's a really good shot. You could shoot it through his eye. And that would go straight into his brain.
But then we wouldn't have a great finale for
this
show.
I agree with you. Like, I need more Dave Bautista. However, had I been living in this world, that's what I would have done.
Like, if somebody would have just killed Cersei in season one, none of this would have happened. Like, right. You can't do that, though.
Well, I always hate it when, like, it's obvious that the bad guy...
have plot armor?
Yeah, it's obvious, like, there's the bad guy. He's vulnerable. You should kill him. And then the main character's just like, nah.
Yeah,
I'm going to leave him alive because like we can't kill him off this early. Otherwise, it robs the tension out of everything.
What material do you think his plot armor was made out of?
Oh, definitely Godbone.
Yeah.
Godbone, I think you're
right. Godbone sewn together with silk.
Godflame?
All right. Yellow
silk. Purified in Godflame.
What happens next, Gators?
All right, so Ito Voss sounds the alarm and Baba Voss's group rush to escape. But before they can leave Trevantis, Hanawa begs Rin to come with them, but Rin refuses, opting to stay behind and cover their escape by closing the gate.
She's super dead.
Why?
For staying.
Yeah, why did she do that?
Well, no one knows it's her, though.
Yeah. Oh, please.
If they don't,
then they're idiots.
Well, this is the show we're talking about, okay?
Like the one person who was supposed to guard Hanawa used Baba Voss.
She better pretend to be knocked out at the gate.
I don't even know if that would work.
Well, she can see. So like there's no way for them to know that she was there unless they like smell her or hear her or something like that.
She better shadow the fuck out of there.
There's definitely some funny plot and writing points in the show. Like so they go to the skyscraper and then why would she just be allowed to take a prisoner to the skyscraper?
No one knew she had a prisoner.
Is nobody checking in on the prisoner other than this one person?
No, she's a secret. Hannah was
think
a secret.
They knew because Ben was the only cuffed. One.
Okay.
She was cuffed the whole time.
Get back, and the moment they get back from the skyscraper, and the ruse is back on, freaking Ito shows up and says, "Bring her out to the courtyard." You know, and it's just like, come on.
And she's like, oh, why? What's up?
Oh, we're going to do something bad.
And then suddenly his plan goes wrong.
Oh, man. If they do something with her, then nobody's going to get to go down on me anymore.
Yeah. At least there was like motivation for her betrayal because like she got involved with Hanawa.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then when she found out, not so much that Hanawa was going to die, but that they were going to like rape the fuck out of her. Mm-hmm. She was like, I got to do something.
Yeah.
So like, you know, this entire time she was just kind of like, I don't want to betray anyone. I don't want to leave my home. I can't leave with you. And then like the minute that Hannah was in jeopardy, she's like, I got to do something.
Yeah. She had to make a choice for what was right. But also it was stupid of her to stay.
Yeah. She should have just left.
Yeah.
It would have been way better for her.
Yeah. But I mean, like her entire home was there, her family. So like I could get it. Oh. And plus like we need something to like, you know, we need a character that
I hope she survives.
I hope, do you guys like the big gate that they closed the city off with?
I love that. They used a bus.
A giant bus.
Yeah.
That was very, very post-apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Zombie apocalypse.
We gotta use what we have.
Yeah. I liked it. It was good. All right, Kadesh, what happens next?
All right. Now, in the final scene, takes place back in Pensa, and Queen Kane has a miscarriage and kills her handmaid, Cora, who discovered the miscarriage. Then Boots enters and finds Kane stabbing Cora. Queen Kane informs Boots about what happened, and Boots says, "Don't worry, I'll impregnate you again with a stronger child," right before Queen Kane fucking kills him.
I know, right?
Like, literally, like, shanks him in the fucking neck.
You know what, though? I thought it was great. Because nobody likes Boots.
Everybody hates Boots.
Boots is a terribly written, poorly conceived.
That is not the ending I wanted for him.
Just a bad character.
I needed a better ending for him, for him to like make sense.
I literally felt like the writers are like, fuck this guy.
Well, they literally,
let's kill him and get him off the show and we'll be done with him.
They didn't know what to do with him.
Right.
There's a sighted person in Queen Kane's like inner circle.
Just kill him. Just
like, what are we going to do with him? He can't, like, we have this Game of Thrones that we're going to be playing with these other characters, and he's over here with a huge advantage. Mm-hmm. And he's just, sitting on his hands, not doing anything?
He's the worst.
He's literally the worst.
Well, it goes to like how bad the writing was in the first season, where it's obvious they didn't have a plan for Boots. They didn't know what they were going to do with him.
Yeah.
Just a complete nonsense character.
Yeah, and so they choose to just kill him off instead of like actually trying to come up with like a decent storyline
for
him.
They fixed a lot.
But also, like, Queen Kane killing her, like, her two closest confidants is stupid to me. Like, yes, doesn't make a lot of sense.
I agree.
She's unhinged, though.
And she pulls out like that shank from like her arm skin, and like she used that to kill like the betrayers in the first season, the ones who were trying to smout the coup.
Yeah.
So like she's got like stuff like all over her body that's just like deadly.
Makes you wonder what else she's got stuff in places.
Yeah. Also, like,
why is she miscarried?
Yeah.
You got a shank up there too.
Well, is it a coincidence that she miscarried after Lord Harlan went down on her?
I think he something.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's good. That's a good.
Think he poisoned her?
He might have done something to cause the miscarriage, because remember how basically her having a witch for a child was going to cause problems with the populace. Mm-hmm. And so like he might have wanted to do something to kind of like throw a wrench into her plans. So
he literally threw a wrench into her uterus. And was like,
I've noticed more of this season already. And I think Matt's touched on it too. We're very much doing a Game of Thrones-y kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's getting too Game of Thrones.
Really? You think?
Like I feel like they had a concept for this show in the first season, and then they were like, "This is stupid. Let's make it Game of Thrones because that's what people want."
I kind
of
like it, man. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. I do. I'm way more into this now than I was last year.
Yeah.
Do you think Boots dying was the Ned Stark moment?
Do you think Boots is dead?
No, I think Boots is dead. I think his character that just.
They literally run
its course.
Everything that had to do with Boots that transferred from season one to season two, they have now erased. The baby, like everything that he had to do with this whole plot is gone.
And I think that's why Kofun is going to become way more important.
Yeah. I think Boots' death was to pave the way for Kofun to come in, and Queen Kane is going to try to get all up on Kofun.
No, she's getting all up on? It's Jorah Morrell. He can still have sighted babies.
That's true.
Well, that might not be until season
but
three.
But I would like to never see Jorah Morrell again.
I hope not. But there's a reason they brought him back.
No, they got to do something with Kofun. Otherwise, he's just going to be a waste.
Kofun's not going to bang his aunt.
How do you know?
Yes, he is.
Come on, dude.
It's just not going to happen.
Cersei and Jaime,
I don't think so.
Audiences are ready for it.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, like, if they're going full Game of Thrones, they're like, how can we get some incest in this?
Yeah. There's a surprising lack of nudity in this show, though.
That's true.
Yeah, you'd think blind people wouldn't be worried about showing.
Not at all.
I'm wondering, have we seen any nudity on any of the Apple TV shows? I don't think so.
What other shows are there?
A bunch of prudes.
Servant. Mystic Quest.
It's not really the type of
Invasion,
show.
Invasion. I haven't started watching that yet, but I don't think I've seen any nudity on Apple TV.
Yeah, if this were a Dan and Dave Benioff joint,
if this were HBO,
everyone would be naked.
We'd have seen everything.
Well, they're blind. What do they have to have clothes for?
Kadesh would be running the show. Everybody would be naked.
Tits flopping around.
Dave Bautista just walking out there strutting his stuff. Another just, brain
it,
hanging.
It hit every side of the wall as he walks down the hall.
Yeah, he uses it as a seeing eye cane. Yeah.
He just uses it to see where he's going, just flinging it.
I got a gross on my pecker.
Is that the last scene? There's something else after that, right? Yeah,
that's the final scene. That's so the last scene. What questions did you have?
Oh, God, I forget. No.
Okay. Well, you had a fashion report for us, right?
I do.
Okay, yes. So guys, if you're new to this show or new to us talking about this show, in season one, Jude wasn't always able to join us for the podcast, so we would have her jump in with an audio-only fashion report for 500 years in the future was what she was speculating. So go for it, Jude. This is, I'm excited.
So for those of you who've been wondering what the latest tribal fashions of the future are, allow me to travel forward in time and bring you to a sight for your sorry unseeing eyes. You can't see it because sight is heresy, but if your presage were here right now, he, she, they would tell you that in season 2, episode 1, the queen is having a new gossamer gown made entirely of spun heretic tears. Wrapped in a declaration of war and her new frock, she sashays down the Pensa runway straight into our hearts. Speaking of hearts, in episode 2, our queen daringly doles out decrees draped in lavender. Not the color, the bath. Christening a new city and a new tub is super stressful, and Sibeth, excuse me, her majesty knows how to delegate. She's taking meetings tubside in between prayer, and when life hands her a lemon shake, she's got her trusty shank wrist lit at the ready to shut the rumor mill down, and that includes her baby daddy. Episode 3, I predict, will have our queen cocooned in blood clot boots. Get it? Well, this... Well, this bewitch hopes and furiously prays with both hands that in the next episode, we'll sense more of a focus on footwear patrolling the new Pian capital. After all, boots, the shoe, not the guy, were made for walking, and walking on sunshine is for the gods. Until next, Chet.
Oh, gosh.
Want to do final thoughts on this episode? Wrap.
Yeah. final thoughts for me. Solid episode. Did not like the way Boots went out, but I understand why he had to, because he's kind of a nothing character. Tofu continues to be useless. I hope he never is useful. I hope he just continues to be just this hapless fool.
He was barely in it.
I know. It's great.
You just want a reason to keep calling
him. I do. I do. If he turns into a badass in another couple of seasons, I'm going to be so pissed.
I hope he does.
Peter fucking Baelish.
Peter Baelish went out like a bitch, though.
I hope this show fixes everything that Game of Thrones did to us.
Yeah, all right.
Give us a good ending.
Yeah. When does this show introduce dragons? Seeing eye dragons?
No. What could they do? What kind of mythological nonsense could they pull out of their ass for this show?
I mean, they've already got seeing eye dogs Gremlins. And horses.
Gremlins.
Vampires.
Oh!
That's dope. Trolls. Funny.
Anyway, this show's getting good.
It is.
It's
really is.
I'm in, which is weird because I thought I was going to hate it, but I don't. I mean, there's moments where I'm like, why is she wearing a red dress? Like, what's happening here? But
I'm glad that those moments are still in the show,
though. I kind of do too. It's like, oh, that's stupid. That's from season one. But then they go on.
Dig it.
No, dig it. Great. The Queen Cain again with the whole freaking leg. She's so pissed off that she can't pray. She's the best villain ever. She gets up. She's like, bow before your queen. She's like, spreads her legs. And I'm like, God damn.
Listen, she's got to give that message to God.
Okay. it's a solid episode, man. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see more Ito and Baba Voss. That's like the core of this show for me right now. And having Tamak Djoon come back as a badass. That scene where he's got the blades and he just jumps down and starts freaking hacking everybody up. Like, yes, give me more of that.
I love Tamak Djoon.
Me too, dude.
He's my favorite. I'm not going to lie, he's my favorite.
And I want the dude with the white beard. He needs to come back.
He has to show up.
If he doesn't show up by the end of the season, I'm
going
to be pissed.
Somebody needs to make a meme.
I will.
Of him. And it's like, where is he?
Where's this guy at?
Seen in action.
I'll do it. I'll make a meme and I'll tag C, the official account. Vader.
How are you going to do that? You're not on Twitter anymore.
Well, he'll give it to me to put on
Instagram.
Instagram.
Instagram, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm out there.
They post a lot on the IG.
They do.
Vader. Which is ironic for a blind show.
Just going to say.
She just snored.
Chet, Chet.
He made himself laugh so hard he snorted. All right.
He's like, I'm so funny.
Someone's got to laugh at my joke.
I tickle myself.
What do you think about this episode, bud?
Oh, I'm just going to say to mock to June and moving on.
Okay.
This is a great show. I love it.
All right, yeah. Cool.
I'm so glad that you love it. It touches me.
Jude, are you in?
I'm so in. And this episode gave me a lot. Like, I was like, those two are gay for each other. And I called it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, prior to that, I was like, to mock to June, he's still alive. And I called it. And like, it's just making me feel like I'm really good at movie reviews.
So the next thing I want you to predict is Gerald Morrell's death, please.
Okay. Yeah. I never want to see Gerald Morrell again. I hope that Ren doesn't get fucking murdered like a lot. And I would like to see more of her. I'm invested in that relationship now. God, I hated the way that Boots went out. And I kind of am rooting for him to survive this and to come back as an adversary to the queen.
Mm. Okay. Kadish, how about you, bud?
So I begrudgingly admit that this show is getting better, but it just makes me hate it more.
You know what? It's really hard for me to watch this with Kadish now because he's such a bah humbug. And I need y'all to come over and watch it with me.
Because he likes terrible shows.
I know. So
it's that I like terrible shows. It's that this show in particular was so stupid. And the better it gets, the less I can criticize it. And so, like, I really like this episode. Like, to mock to June coming back, that was like a big stand up and applause mm-hmm. moment for me. It was really exciting to see that character come back. The final fight scene was good. The Boots getting killed, like, at the end, it was just like a holy shit moment.
That was kind of a Ned Stark moment.
It was crazy.
Ned Stark. No, yeah.
that's true. But I mean, just like the show just seems to be like finding its footing now. And I don't like it. I want it to continue to be bad.
He wants it to keep tripping.
I need you to get on board with the excitement of this show becoming good.
I'm on board with it. I just hate being on board with it. I don't want it to be good. I want it to be season one levels of stupid.
He hates how much he likes it.
Yes, exactly. That is accurate.
All right. All right, guys, that's it. That's our spoiler discussion for season 2, episode 2, Forever. Thank you very much for joining us and join us here every single week. We're talking about every episode that drops on this show because we love it so much. We are your official C review channel right here, guys.
No one cares enough to talk about this stupid show.
Only ones out there doing it.
We've been here for a while. We've been here for 2 years standing on the hill of C. And if you're listening to a different podcast, fuck you.
Here is our flag that nobody can see.
There are some other ones. There are a couple other ones out there talking about it.
They can hear it flapping, though. It's made entirely of knots.
That sounds like the salty nerd flag.
We need somebody in the background just tying knots dictating what we're saying.
Oh, the big penis on their growth on it.
We need a stenographer behind us just tying notes the whole time. Call your wife. Get her back here.
Oh, gosh. All right, Matthew Vader, where can they find you on the socials, buddy?
On the socials, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Gitter. Gitter.
Facebook.
You made me pee a little bit.
Grabber. You can find me at Matt Vader 74 on all of those things.
Okay. Get her.
Grabber.
Such a stupid name for a freaking app. Get her.
Get her done.
Get her done. Jude, where can they find you?
You can email me directly at judejujucumdumpster.com.
Nobody's going to get that reference.
I'm getting that because it's from a different show. Sorry. You can find me at I am Jujuju on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Discord.
I'm going to make that email for you.
Listen, you can email it and it's going to be Kadish. He's going to catfish the hell out of you. He'll be like, oh yeah, I'll do that to you.
Kadish, where can they find you at, buddy?
You can find me at Matthew Kadish, KADISH on Twitter, and KadishBooks.com. We'll take you to my Amazon page.
And I'm your host, Alex, the Salty Nerd. You can catch me on our Discord app. Go to SaltyNerdDiscord.com. Jump in. If you want to support the show and get exclusive access to 4 episodes a month, go to saltynerdclub.com and become a club member. And
our back catalog.
And our huge back catalog. We've been doing this for a while, guys. We got a lot of extra stuff for you. So it's a great value. And we'd really appreciate the help. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And as always, stay salty, my friends.